Welcome to University United Methodist Church. I'm Barbara Fote. I'm a member here, and I'll be sharing the welcome and some announcements and also leading you through the liturgy today. So whether it is your custom to come, whether you came just because you're curious, or whether there is some crisis for which you need some quiet and some warmth and some love, please know that you are welcome here. If you are new to us, we have a brochure. Hopefully one of the members of the welcome team will get that to you, but they're also in the back if we don't catch you. And you have a bulletin that will give you an abbreviated list of where we're going through the worship service, but all the details will be up on the screen so you can just follow along. Inside your bulletin, I know there's a couple of pieces of paper to look at, but if you'd pull out the yellow one, we would like to know that you are here. So if you could put your name, whether you're here for the first time or the last time, and if you're new, some contact information. And then on the flip side is an opportunity for you to leave a prayer request, and those will be collected and read aloud during the service later on. So that's what that yellow slip is, and if you don't hand it to an usher with a prayer request, then you can just drop it right in the offering plate. We have restrooms and childcare out this way. Gathering room right behind here is where we'll gather after the worship service for some conversation. And I'd remind you, we have a safe sanctuary policy, so all children should be accompanied throughout the building by an adult. We have lots of opportunities for Christian service, and it's a big week in the life of the church. If you are one who believes your gift might be fellowship and hospitality, it doesn't take a lot to be able to greet someone at the door, to be able to hand a bulletin, to be able to assist people if they need their way around the church. Since I'm on the welcome team, I know that the research shows how many minutes do you think it takes somebody when they first visit before they decide if they'll come back? About 5. So that means they don't even get to hear Alicia, right, or the sermon. It's the ushers and the greeters and the welcome folks who really make that difference. So we are having a small meeting for those who are interested because we need more ushers and greeters. We need help, and that will be right after the service. There will be a celebration of life service to honor the life of Mary Wilson, who was a member of the congregation here, and that will be after worship on the 27th, I believe it is. It's in your bulletin. And just a note of care, her daughter Joanne, who is also experiencing some medical issues, is not aware of Mary's death, so if you do see Joanne or visit her, it's best not to mention that. We have t-shirts and polo shirts if you ordered them, and they should be in the gathering room after worship. So please do go pick up yours if you ordered it, and I think there's a few extras. If you didn't get, then you would like one. They have the name of the church on them. This is Holy Week, so it's, as I always say, the busiest week for pastors, busier even than Christmas. We are having our traditional Thursday 6 o'clock worship service, but it is a Holy Thursday service. It's not similar to our worship today, so do come. I always find it really meaningful to have communion on that Thursday night. And Friday here, the sanctuary will be open for prayer during the day. And then next Sunday, it is going to be a grand service, complete with the Hallelujah Chorus, which you do not want to miss. So please bring your family, invite some friends to come for that glorious service on Sunday. Sunday evening, my husband and I will be hosting any college student or graduate student or young professional in our connections group. It's often a little lonely on Easter for them, so we have them over to our house at Easter dinner. And since we have church events Saturday night and Sunday night, if anybody likes to cook and could help us with a few dishes for Easter dinner, that would be really great if you will see Nelson or me. And finally, the lovely bouquet here of red flowers is from the memorial service of our dear Dean Moyer. And after the service, those flowers are going to be given out. So one to a family, please come up. And Bobby Hemphill will be glad to help you take a flower home to remember this week. I believe those are the opportunities for Christian service and discipleship. And let us continue. Our choir now has our introit.
Come on, come on, come on.
We are going to start with the grand procession of palms around the church during our opening hymn. And so here's how it's going to work. The procession will come down this aisle and continue to march around the center section of the pews. And we need you to stand up and join in as it comes around, right? We're going to go clockwise from your viewpoint that way. And you can join it anytime, and you can still see the screens whichever direction you're going. Our worship today will span, really, the whole entity of Holy Week and that human emotion that goes from the joy today, Jesus' joyful entry into Jerusalem, and then the sadder part, the betrayal of Gethsemane, the conviction, the death sentence. We'll experience these today through Scripture, through music, through prayer, and through the sermon. And as we begin, hear these words from the 11th chapter of what Matthew wrote. When they approached Jerusalem and they came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus gave the disciples a task. He said, go into the village over there, and as soon as you enter, you'll find a donkey tied up with a colt. Untie them and bring them to me. And if anybody says anything to you, just say, the Lord has need of it. And he sent them off. Now, this happened to fulfill what the prophet had said. Say to daughter Zion, look, your king is coming to you, humble and riding on a donkey, and on a colt, the donkey's offspring. So the disciples went and did just as Jesus had ordered them. They brought the donkey and the colt, and they put their clothes on him. And then Jesus sat on them. Now, a crowd spread their clothes on the road. Apparently, that was a custom of the day. Others cut palm branches off of the trees and spread them in the road. And the crowds in front of him and behind him were shouting, Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up. Who is this? They asked. And the crowd said, it is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee. Please stand now in body or in spirit and join me in our call to worship, which is a prayer for clearing out. Will you stand? God of change, we are too busy sometimes to show up for what's important. Your parade of abundant life is happening and we can't clear our schedules. Help us clear out the way that we live and the gods that we adore that are not you. Amen. In the name of Jesus, who got on a donkey and rode into Jerusalem to proclaim justice for the outcast, in the name of Jesus, who looked upon the people waving branches and laying their cloaks before him, and they vowed to love no matter what the consequences, in the name of Jesus, who invites us to join the parade and celebrate life, let the people say Hosanna. Let the people say Amen. 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 Well, I expect it's just like it was in Jerusalem. It was a little too crowded. We couldn't even get through, right? So please remain standing. We want to have some connection time. We are a community of faith and love. We don't have to do it all by ourselves. So please greet those around you by telling them of God's peace and love.
Good morning, everyone. As you give your last hug or greeting, may you find your seat back to home. We didn't have music to bring us out today. We will next week. Well, good morning, everyone. I'm Pastor Alicia. I am honored to say that I'm the pastor here at University United Methodist Church. And welcome. I'm so grateful for everyone who marched with us. How exciting. Barbara said, and you were worried not enough people would do it. And then everybody, it was great. In our Lenten journey, we have been focusing on slowing and quieting our lives to make room for God's love and care to break through the busyness. We come to Palm Sunday, the last Sunday of Lent, as Holy Week begins. We remember the cheering crowd and the fateful culmination of Jesus' ministry. Jesus was teaching that the last should be first, that God, not Caesar, should be worshipped, that God's love was universal, and that wealth was to be shared by all. The authorities were so threatened that he was a marked man as he approached Jerusalem that day. He had been turning things upside down, teaching new interpretations of Hebrew law and practices. He was shifting the thinking about what was truly important. People, not profit. Healing, not rule-keeping. Connecting, not appearances. To the status quo, he says, give it a rest. Give them a rest. Today we ask ourselves, who is suffering because we've focused on the bottom line? What status quo of our day needs to give it a rest?
I don't know about you, but I have trouble with that simply be, right? So we're going to practice that for a moment. I invite you to take a deep breath and let it out. And one more. May these simple acts, may our consciousness of breath and rest be a sign. May we commit ourselves to give ourselves a break, a few moments, an hour to catch our breath, and to give ourselves time to hear God or for God to get our attention and to give God our attention. You can remain seated and join me in welcoming the children who will be coming down front as we sing that good old hymn, Take Time to Be Holy.
How are you? Thank you for marching with us today. Welcome, welcome. Come on over. Squeeze in. So what I'd like to do is have you take one of these and pass it. Okay? I want you to get one of the thick ones, okay? So you can take one and pass it. You have one, Matthew. Do you want another one? Okay. Which one would you like? So there's a tradition. Oops. There's a tradition where palms are turned from this, and someone has one, from this long stalk. Can I just have you help pass them out? Thank you. A long stalk like this into a cross. And Joviet brought one up with Juliet. Can you show the kids that, please? I am very impressed. I am very impressed. So I have these instructions, and also it's going to be up on the screen. So if anyone out here wants to try to make it too, they can. I'm going to send these instructions back with you. It's kind of a few folding, and I think that Joviet and Eva can help us. They seem to be experts, right? Oh, Miss Eva is the expert, I guess, if we can't get it done. So I'm going to pass these out for you to take back, and maybe you can work on it during the worship service if you want, or you could take it home and do it at home. If you aren't able to do it, that's okay, too. It's just something to try, okay? So it's interesting that these palm branches were the palm branches we were waving here, and we were so excited to be waving them. And back in Jesus' day, the people around Jesus as he came into Jerusalem on a donkey, can you imagine riding a donkey, a small little donkey, into Jerusalem? They were waving these and saying, so excited to see Jesus. And then he was betrayed. And he hung on the cross. He died on the cross. And so I find it a beautiful symbol that we can turn these from palm branches into a cross. It's like our Holy Week all in one activity. So do you have any questions or thoughts as we maybe do this? You guys look so interested. All right. So will you, I have a question for you. What is next Sunday?
Easter.
It's Easter, yay. So Easter Sunday is going to be a good Sunday as well. We're going to have a good time, so I hope to see you. But before Easter comes, we have Holy Thursday and we have Good Friday. And those are days that are they're a lot sadder and a lot more lament. So we can't have Easter without that lament. So I figured that we'd talk about next week but not forget what's in between. All right, will you pray with me? Loving God, we are so grateful that you give us a chance to cheer you on, give us a chance to be sad when we know that you will leave earth, and then give us another chance to be happy when you return in a new way. Be with us during this week that we might remember all the different emotions that come with knowing you and with being human. And I pray this in your name. Amen. So you all, I'm going to give this a piece of the diagram, this one up there, to each of you so you can take it with you back to your seat, and you can go sit with whoever brought you, all righty, as we continue our worship.
I'm going to go ahead and read the scripture as the children are going back to their seats. Today the scripture is from Mark's Gospel, and it's chapter 2. Verses 21 to 28, in case you want to follow along in the Bible in your pews. Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem that we celebrate as Palm Sunday was an announcement that things were going to be different. Everybody's excited. They were cheering and waving palm branches, but they didn't understand that everything had to change. It wasn't just a party. You can't celebrate a new way of being and keep holding on to the old stuff. That's like having kale and baked chicken for supper, if you don't like kale or baked chicken. Or scarfing down a carton of ice cream before you go to bed. That's why the cheers turned to jeers and taunts in just a few days. We have to be ready for change. Have to give up the old. Today's lesson from Mark is about mixing that old and new. No one sews a piece of unshrunk cloth, writes Mark, on an old cloak. Otherwise, the patch pulls away from it. The new from the old, and a worse tear is made. And no one puts new wine in old wineskins. Otherwise, the wine will burst the skins, and the wine is lost, and so are the skins. But one puts new wine into fresh wineskins. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and as they made their way, the disciples began to pluck off heads of grain. And the Pharisees said, "Look, why are they doing what isn't lawful? It's the Sabbath." And Jesus said to them, "Have you ever read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and they wanted food? He entered the house of God, and when Abiathar was the high priest, and he ate the bread of the presence of God, which is not lawful for anybody but the priests to eat. And he gave some to his companions." And Jesus said to them, "The Sabbath was made for humankind, and not humankind for the Sabbath. So the human one is Lord even of the Sabbath." This is the word of God for the people of God. Our anthem is Palm Branches.
Thank you.
Amen, choir. Thank you. So today, I would like to talk about our three scripture readings that we're going to read today. Our Palm Sunday reading of Jesus' glorious entrance into Jerusalem, our text from Mark about the wineskins that Barbara just read, and then later in our service, we're going to read our closing scripture, which is when Jesus was betrayed and arrested and crucified on the cross. A lot to cover in one sermon. Did you guys get comfortable? In our Palm Sunday scripture, Jesus was doing something very new and different. He rode in on a donkey. On a donkey, instead of some grand elephant or something grand as a Roman royal would have. He was not only riding in a humble way and also fulfill the prophecy, but he was also kind of mocking the Roman leadership as he came in on a donkey. Another reason he got put on that list. During Lent, we have been taking time out to reconnect with our unhurried God. During our time, we have recognized we may need to do things differently. How might we, in our everyday lives, be more humble and more bold? Jesus was about doing things differently. Does anyone remember when we were forced to make this change? The change from VHS to DVD. Does anyone remember this? Okay. Does anyone remember VHS tapes? Okay. Does anyone remember DVDs? Okay. Now there aren't even DVDs. We have Netflix, right? Who knows Netflix? Okay. So just in case folks didn't even know what these were, the young folks, I wanted them to know, this is what we did before Netflix. And we had to make this change. And there was this weird, awkward time when we had all these great movies on VHS. But we were getting moved towards DVD. And oh my goodness, what were we going to do with the VHS tapes and movies that we had that we loved so much? Were we going to keep our VHS player pristine and in working order for until the end of time? Or were we going to have to buy all our VHS movies and put them on, you know, get them in DVD so that we could watch them on our new DVD player? I'm not even going to get into Blu-ray, okay? We're not even going Blu-ray. But this was a time when maybe we needed a new equipment that had both VHS and DVD, right? Some of us went out and did that too. But I'm wondering, who still has this near their TV? You do? Does anyone else? Okay. Okay. So I'd say about 10-20% of us. I do not even have anything hooked up to my, like I don't have a VHS or a DVD player hooked up to my TV anymore. I actually have to like hook it up when I'm ready to watch something from that. But usually I just go to Netflix or Amazon Prime to see if it's there before I even dig out the old machine. This was a big change, wasn't it? I know it was a little traumatic for me because there were Disney movies involved. So our scripture from Mark refers to these wineskins. Old wineskins and new wineskins and how we can't put new wine into old wineskins. In other words, sometimes we need to start over and begin something brand new. It's scary to end one thing or one way of doing things to start anew. And it also can be rewarding. For example, DVDs, especially Blu-rays, are better quality viewing than the VHS. Sometimes we have to let it all go to create something new. God's peace is not the calm after the storm. It's the steadfastness during it. In the uncertainty, change, and newness, God is with us. I wonder if this scripture of the wineskin speaks to us in regard to our denomination. I wonder if this reflects the way we have always thought about life or about people or about church, and how we need to give away our old beliefs to rise to the newness and change Jesus wants in us all. Jesus was about doing things differently. I've always wondered how the crowd that cheered for Jesus turned on him so quickly. And then I thought of a ball game at the Dome. When we go to the Dome to watch a game, can we feel the energy and excitement in the crowd? Can we? Okay. You guys are fans, right? Okay. So I read in a book named Interruptions by Jacob Armstrong about Jacob Armstrong and his wife going to an NFL football game. And they were waiting outside for the gates to open to go into the stadium. And as they waited outside, he said he was a little uncomfortable with the crowd. Like, crowds are kind of intimidating. He doesn't like crowds. So to stand in that crowd where people are pushing against you, it's a little awkward. But what he found was that everybody was so excited about this ball game and their team winning that the energy rose and rose, and he started to get more excited than he normally did, and he started to cheer and scream more than he normally did because of this excitement and energy in the crowd. And then he says he went in and they sat down and the game went on and this energy was so good and excited, and he and his wife were having a great time. And then his team lost. And the energy in the crowd shifted. Has anyone ever experienced this? That energy just, yes. So when we think about in this short, I don't know how long NFL games last. How long? 3 hours? 2 hours? Three? Okay. In these 3 hours, we can go from this, the whole crowd excited, to the old crowd being, our team lost. Huge shift in the energy of the crowd. As our closing of worship today, we are going to review the scripture leading up to Jesus' crucifixion. We will take away everything on this altar space, and we're going to put up the cross. Sometimes, and then after we put up the cross, when we're ready, we're going to leave in silence. It's going to be very different than our regular worship service. Sometimes we need to give it all away and feel the emptiness to recognize the change that may be needed. Jesus' disciples never thought Jesus would leave them so quickly. They were in disbelief when he died on the cross. They lived in the uncertainty of what to believe and what to do next. What if that's what we need to do right now? What if this week is about giving it all away to make room for what Jesus will make new in us? I wonder, how has Lent and your prayer chair helped you recognize that things may need to be done differently? What might we need to give a rest? What might we need to shift in us from Palm Sunday to Good Friday and then to Easter? Remember, Jesus is about doing things differently. And this includes continually making you and I brand new. Amen.
Alicia just talked about change, and one of the changes is sometimes we have to break down the walls before we can move through or move on. Jesus does offer us a new way, a new law. As we begin to move toward our hymn, if you have a prayer request, on the yellow slip, would you finish that now or hold it up? The ushers will collect them during the hymn. And please stand in body or in spirit as we sing, "Christ has broken down the wall."
Please be seated. I got so into that song, I forgot where I was. As I send myself to time out in the prayer chair for the last time in this Lenten season, my prayer for you is that you have a prayer chair at home, and that every time you look at your prayer chair, you'll be drawn into it once again, if only for a minute. If you have not been able to get to your prayer chair consistently, it's okay. Don't feel guilty. Just remember that it waits for you whenever you are ready to give God some time. God is always compassion, not pressure. That is why accepting the invitation to step out of busyness and be with God is always possible. As we think about Jesus' last days, we know that when he was most troubled and frightened, he went to the garden and went to God in prayer. This is a time for letting go of things we do not need. We offer up to God our regret about the past, unburdening our hearts. God will never abandon us, even when we sometimes abandoned God. Finally, we let go of worry, giving it all to the loving God who holds us close and rocks us gently. We are going to have a time of silence. And it's okay if your thoughts won't quiet down. Just slow down, perhaps, calling your attention to how you're sitting or your breath in and out. There is nothing expected of you right now. There's nowhere to go, nowhere to be. In this stillness, this being, is enough. So let's take a moment of silence. Let us pray. Holy God, for not being aware of how our actions affect others, forgive us. For the times when we just don't care, forgive us. Help us be mindful of your call to change the things we can to improve life for all. Help us move toward a world where your love reigns. In this Holy Week, we move us to greater compassion for those who grieve, for those who are suffering. In this moment, we hear your promise, O God, saying, Sabbath rest was made for you. We don't have to earn it. It is yours forever. God, you do not ask us to be tireless, but to give it a rest, so that we can renew ourselves for the work of renewing others. We are your children, and we know the lengths you go to love us completely. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We bring our petitions to you this day, O God. We'll hear the prayers of our people. Amen.
We will have a spoken prayer as we continue our prayer time and then the Lord's Prayer. And please pray the Lord's Prayer in whatever language you feel closest to God. Let us be together for prayer. God, we have hailed you with cheers and palm branches as they did so many years ago. And we do praise you for who you are. And we've already asked your forgiveness. May this week we be gentle with ourselves and even gentler with others. And amidst the busyness of this week, the extra services, the preparation for company, the Easter baskets, may we remember what this week is really all about. For we see the good, we see the hope, we see the promise, God. We thank you for the daffodils, for the forsythia, for signs of spring, for blessings, for surprises, for random acts of kindness. But we know it isn't all hosannas, either in our lives or others. And so we pray for those who are grieving, for those who loved Dean, who loved Mary, and others who have gone. For those who are hurting mentally or physically, for those with unhealthy habits, for those who live in fear, we pray. For new parents, new jobs, new opportunities. May you be with us this week, for we ask it in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray, saying, Creator God, who art in heaven, blessed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Well, the excitement of marching proudly into Jerusalem faded pretty quickly as the powers that be flipped the script on Jesus from welcomed Messiah to dangerous criminal. Jesus had known his life was in danger even before he headed to Jerusalem, but it was in Jerusalem that his message needed to be heard. He arranged a final meal with his close followers, and still teaching, he washed the grime from their feet to teach them about servant leadership. And as the meal ended, he invited them to remember that every time they should remember him as they shared these everyday staples of bread and wine. As our service continues, we will be stripping away the color and light from our worship space and begin to reflect on the events that followed that meal, moving from the excitement of the palm parade to the desolation of the cross. As we move now to share our offerings, let me just reaffirm that lives are being changed every day. We are part of a living tradition on this corner for 150 years. So giving is a way that we give back with thanks of our time or our talent. And as we take our offering, I would remind you, as the plate goes by, to offer yourself. If you have a yellow slip, drop it in there. If you're able to share a check or some money, drop it in as well. We will now have our offering. know during this Lenten season I have learned that being busy isn't necessarily what makes us a good person. And so let us think about that as we join together in our prayer of dedication. Loving and inclusive God, show us the way to be simply and honestly present with ourselves and others in this Lenten season. Teach us to repent or turn around from Help us rededicate our rested selves to kingdom work. Amen. What wondrous love God gives us. The good news is that God's forgiveness, demonstrated on the cross, is available to us time and time again. Please remain standing and join in singing hymn number 292, What Wondrous Love Is This?
Please be seated. The rest of the story had already been put into motion. Jesus went to the Garden of Gethsemane to pray, and while he was there with his followers, the authorities came to arrest him in a sham trial. He was sentenced to die, nailed to a cross. His frightened followers scattered. Only the women remained, holding their silent vigil at the cross. As Jesus died, the sky turned black and the curtain to the Holy of Holies in the temple was torn apart. After seeing everything, one of the centurions attending the crucifixion observed, "Certainly this man was innocent." And when all the crowds who had gathered there for this spectacle saw what had taken place, they returned home, beating their breasts. things we cannot change, the courage to change the things we can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Amen.